It's great to be back with you here, Bethel. I had the chance last week to be out in Elsie Craig with our Bethel North church plant, and it was such a delight and a privilege. And there was this beautiful fitting metaphor as I began the service there, sitting in the second row, right about where you guys are sitting, was one of our families with a brand new baby. Their little baby had been born right around the same time that the church started. So 2.5, 3 weeks old was this little baby. And just as I looked at them, it just reminded me of this picture that we've had as we've thought about planting churches in rural small towns around us, that it is very much like parents having a child, that there is a journey that parents walk through, and that no one would ever expect that family holding their couple week old baby, oh, well, now you're 3 weeks old, go get a job and fend for yourself, right? No one would ever think that, because you know, as parents with a little infant, there is so much care and nurture and attention that is needed. But as time progresses, and by the time hopefully they turn 18 or 19, they are getting a job and they are starting to fend for themselves, right? And so just like that with planting churches, as the church is in its infancy stage as a newborn, there is care and nurture and presence that is needed. And so I was so grateful to get to go. And one example of that is going out there and helping and support with preaching. Super grateful for Pastor Roger. Thank you for opening up God's word here last week and sharing from God's word for us here. And I just love that we've got a church family. We're able together to support in this journey of planting churches that thrive and shine out as lighthouses for Christ in the communities around us. Now, this morning, grab your Bible out and turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. While you're turning there, a few weeks ago, we had a little accident in our kitchen at home, and a bottle of Coke got spilled all over our kitchen floor. Now, we tried fairly quickly to wipe up the Coke, and I thought we'd gotten all of it. And a few hours later, we were downstairs in our unfinished basement to do some laundry or something, I don't know. And there was a spot on the cement floor that was sticky. And I go to, like, wipe it up, and what we discovered was somehow the Coke that had spilled on the hardwood floor upstairs found its way through, like, the seams of the hardwood boards and then snuck its way under the hardwood between the subfloor and the hardwood boards all the way through the plywood to a crack in the plywood, then leaked down through the crack in the plywood to make a mess in my basement. And I sat there wondering how on earth, like this like heat-seeking missile of Coke to go through and find its way into every crack and crevice that you could imagine. Now that little picture there that Natalie and I experienced a few weeks ago is a profound example of what Jesus does and intends to do in the life of every single believer. Following Christ is not ever intended to just stay at the surface level. It's not ever intended to just be at one room in one floor on the surface of your home, of your life. The Spirit of God desires to work into every crack and crevice, every room and floor of you as a follower of Christ, to impact every part of you and every part of me. And that's what this teaching series that we have been in, that we've called the One Another's for these last number of weeks, has been all about. How the Spirit of God works in us to produce these uncommon attitudes and actions and treatments of one another to permeate into the cracks of how we love one another and pray for one another, how we serve each other and forgive one another, how we bear one another's burdens, and how we live in harmony together with one another, and how we speak to one another. That's the topic of our text today. Our words, how we speak to one another. The title of this morning's sermon is Speaking the Truth to One Another. Our text in God's Word is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 to 27. And we'll start with this passage and we'll look at several others as well, but this is our starting point. God's Word says this: "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil." Our text begins with the word therefore. Now, back in my seminary days, seminary profs had this very geeky little line that they loved to press into us as Bible students. They said, anytime you see a therefore, you need to ask this question: what is the therefore there for? Now, that's pretty cheesy, I know, but it stuck with me. Every time you see a therefore, you need to ask the question, what is the therefore there for? Because a therefore is always in response to something that has been said earlier. It's always flowing out of a previous thought. It never starts something. It's always in view of therefore. So the question needs to be asked when our text begins with therefore: what is the therefore therefore? And if you just skim up a little bit earlier into verses 17 through 24, what we see is this: everything starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what the therefore is there for, to tell us everything starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Verse 17 declares, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart." You must not live the old way like the rest of the world, who is darkened and has hard hearts because they don't know Jesus Christ. But, verse 20, that is not the way you learned Christ. You were taught about Jesus Christ. Verse 21, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. Since all of that is true, since you have heard about Jesus and were taught about Christ, and were not to live the old way with hard hearts, darkened hearts, put off your old ways of living. That's what verse 22 is saying. Christ has given you a new mind and a new view of the world. Verse 23, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And we now put on a new self. Verse 24, put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So in view of all of that, therefore, in view of the fact that it all starts with Jesus Christ and a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, therefore, we're going to get to what we see in our text. Now, I emphasize this, as we have basically every week of this series, because it is so vital that we get the order correct here. The one another's are the fruit of living for Jesus Christ, not the root of living for Christ. The one another's are what comes out of a life that has surrendered itself to Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, or as her Lord and Savior. The one another's are not pull up your bootstraps and try really hard to live in these kind of ways. Be a really good moral person in your own efforts. You can't do it. I can't do it. These are totally uncommon ways of living. You will never be able to muster up enough in yourself to do this. It all starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. It starts with surrendering to Jesus and saying, I give you my life. I put my faith in you. And then when that happens, the Spirit of God comes and lives within us. And the Spirit of God works from the inside out to produce these one another's. We must not get the order wrong. If you flip those, the results are disastrous. The results are you are chasing a life that you can never attain, that you are carrying a burden on your shoulders that will crush you. That's why the therefore is so important. It all starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, with that in mind, our text is going to talk about speaking the truth to one another. And what I am going to do is I am going to give us six reflections that come out of God's word about speaking the truth to one another. Six reflections. And my prayer is, my invitation to you is this morning, ask the Lord, is there at least one of these? Maybe there's two or three or four, or like you're like A plus, all six, I don't know. But is there at least one that you're like, this is for me today? This is God's challenge, God's pressing in point on my heart today. And that we would each walk away with at least one, if not more than that, from these six. We grab onto at least one of these that is a takeaway for us as we consider God's word and about speaking the truth to one another. So here's lesson number one. If you're taking notes, jot this down. Speaking truth is an opportunity. Speaking truth is an opportunity. Verse 25 of Ephesians 4 says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. The first thing I want to remind us of, or show us perhaps for the very first time, is that speaking truth is an opportunity. God here is giving us a command and an encouragement towards the good life. That's what all of these are. This is towards the good life, the abundant life, the life to its fullest. When conflict arises between two people, or when we see a brother or a sister going awry, not hearing or obeying or listening to the truth, we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity. For many of us, the idea of speaking the truth to one another is like, makes me want to puke and run the other direction. It is scary. It is overwhelming. It is intimidating. It feels like a horrible thing. And what I want to say today is speaking the truth to one another is actually an incredibly positive opportunity for us. Now, the reason why I think it feels scary or intimidating or vomit-inducing for many of us is because we get focused upon what we think the other person might do. We get focused on the look we think they may give us, or the way that they might make us feel dumb. It seems scary because are they going to reject me or get angry at me or cut ties off with me? But it can actually be an incredible help to encourage, to support, to redirect, to realign, to enlighten. For many of us, this is hard because we have never seen this modeled well. Whether we talk about in the homes we grew up in or the homes we now live in, whether we talk about the school that we go to or the workplace that we find ourselves in the neighborhood that we surround ourselves with, or even in church. Far too often, we have seen this model terribly. And so we're scared of it. We have seen sarcasm and people blowing off their lids. We have seen bitterness and passive aggressiveness. We have seen brush it under the rug and pretend like it never, ever happened. We've seen all these unhealthy ways of dealing with this. And so the idea of speaking the truth seems hard, but can I just say that speaking the truth is actually an incredibly positive opportunity. It need not be scary or hard, friends. It's a chance at times to enlighten someone who just didn't see or didn't know. It's an opportunity to fix something that is broken, to be a part of healing where it's desperately needed, to build up where there is weakness. Even in this morning, one of the big prayers that I have for today is that we would see there is a different way than maybe what you have seen over and over and over again. That speaking the truth can be a good thing, a positive thing, that it is an opportunity for us together. Number two, we speak the truth because Christ is truth. We speak the truth because Christ is truth. Again, that verse began, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth. In a world that is overcome with falsehood, we are called to be people of the truth. Put away falsehood. Flee from it. Have nothing to do with it. We are to be people of the truth. Why? Because Christ is truth. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Our Savior, who is the one we take his mark upon, we take his name on when we say we are followers of Christ, we are Christians. He is truth. He is the very definition of truth. We live in a world that says truth is relative. Friends, no, truth is not relative. Truth is not subjective. Truth is objective. It is a person, Jesus Christ. He is truth. He is the definition of truth. We live in a world that embraces the fake, putting up facades, saying lies, stretching the truth. And it can be so alluring to get sucked into that. To not just post a picture, but to post a picture with a filter to change and make us look better. To not just let folks know about all that goes on in our family during March break, but to put together the things that make it look like we had a perfect, pristine, all smiling, all week March break. Because of course that was the truth of your week, wasn't it, parents? We can be seduced into believing that it's okay to exaggerate my resume because the job market is so hard. How else am I going to get in? Then they'll see what I'm really like. It's okay if I fudge a little bit. We can start thinking, it's all right if I tell half-truths around work. I mean, look at him and look at her and how they're getting ahead. Surely that's what you're supposed to do, isn't it? Surely that's just what everybody does. Oh, dear friends, we are to be uncommonly different. Put away falsehood. Put away the facades. Put away the fake and the phony. Put away the little white lies, whatever that means. Put it all away. We are to be people of the truth. We are to step into the light and be people of truth because Jesus is truth. So number one was speaking truth is an opportunity. Second reflection, we speak truth because Christ is the truth. Third, truth and love are not opposites but partners. We need to hear this today. Truth and love are not opposites. They are partners together. This is so vital because in my experience, I would say every single one of us swings to one side or to the other. Some of us are truth people, and some of us are like love and grace people. You know what I mean? Like the truth people in the room are everything is so black and white. It is crystal clear what the right thing is. And I don't care if you don't see it. It's true. So I'm going to tell you anyway. And if you think I shouldn't, well, it's true. So that's your problem. And they clobber each other over the heads with truth. That's one side. Some of you are smiling because you're sitting beside a truth person right now. You just stare straight ahead and smile at me. Then there is the grace and the love people, the other side of the extreme, who want to fight about nothing. Let's all just get along. It's not really that bad. It's okay. They must have meant something different. Can we just hold hands and sing kumbaya and love each other to death and it's fine. It's all fine. Everything is fine. It's fine, right? It's fine. See, we've got the truth people, and then we've got the love people, and at times it can feel like these are opposite extremes. But they aren't opposites. They're partners. I mean, just a few minutes ago, I read for you a verse that said that Jesus is truth. If we look just up a couple verses from our text, still in Ephesians chapter 4, we see, speak the truth in love so that we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head in Christ. Speak the truth in love. These aren't opposites. They are actually together. Now, there's a couple ways I could show you that this is true. First of all, it's true because Christ is the truth. But also, if we were to flip in our Bibles over to 1 John chapter 4, we read this. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever does not love has not been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is. See, truth and love can't be opposites. They come from the same source. God is truth, and God is love. God is truth, all truth. God is love, all love. God is all truth and all love, all at the same time. We also know that truth and love are not opposites because speaking the truth is loving. Oh, how our day needs to hear this one. Speaking the truth is loving. We speak the truth because we love. I am willing to go to my dear brother and say, I see how you are acting towards your wife, and it's not okay, because I love him. I see how you are chasing after, fill in the blank, the job, the money, the toys, the promotion, the status, the power, the whatever, and it's not good for you. I'm willing to say that because I love you. I have seen how you are pulling away from Christian community and isolating yourself, and it is oh so dangerous to cut yourself off, and I'm willing to say that because I love you. I'm willing to go to a neighbor who doesn't yet know Christ and tell them about the hope of Christ because I love them. If, just think about this, if you saw your brother or sister in dire need going awry and you just stood there and didn't say something, didn't step in, didn't respond, didn't step up, is that not the epitome of unloving? Isn't that a horrible thing to do? To see a dear friend going awry and just be like, that's the exact opposite of love. Speaking the truth is love if it's done in love. Hear this. If it's done in love. Because truth and love are partners, we see speak the truth in love. God's word tells us, don't bludgeon someone with truth. Speak the truth in love. Check your heart and ask, why am I stepping in to speak the truth? Check your heart and ask, how am I stepping in to speak the truth? Check your goal and ask, what are you trying to point them towards? You can speak the truth and be entirely right, but if you say it in the wrong way, it doesn't matter. Let me tell you that. Let me say that again. You can speak the truth and be entirely correct, but if you do it in the wrong way, it won't make a difference. It won't help. It won't be heard. Speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Because truth and love are partners. So speaking the truth is an opportunity. We speak the truth because Christ is truth. We speak the truth with love because truth and love are partners. Number four, we speak the truth for a glorious purpose. What is the goal of speaking the truth? What's the aim? What's the end that we are shooting for? Whether this be someone at work or with your kids or your spouse at home or in your small group or with a person sitting right next to you right now, what's the goal of speaking the truth? Well, let me just read again. We see it in Ephesians 4, verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Our glorious goal in every situation where we consider speaking the truth is to help someone grow up into Christ. Why do we speak the truth? To help people grow up into the likeness of Christ, to become more like Christ. Hear this. We don't speak the truth to win an argument. We don't speak the truth to get back at someone. We don't speak the truth to show how much smarter or better we are. We don't speak the truth to get control or to take the upper hand. We don't speak the truth to put another person down. We speak the truth to help someone grow up into Christ, to become like Jesus Christ. We speak the truth to non-Christians so that they would see, and we pray, treasure the beauty and majesty of Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's why we speak the truth. We speak the truth to brothers and sisters in the Lord who have hurt us because we want to help them get right with Christ. We speak the truth to brothers and sisters who are veering away from the Lord because we want them to come back and get in line with the one who they are made to worship and live for. So here's a little exercise we all need to do the next time you think you need to speak the truth. Stop. And invite the Holy Spirit to search your heart with this question. Why am I going to say this to them? What's your motivation? Spirit of God, search my heart. Show me what is my motivation. What is my goal? What is the purpose? Don't start asking or justifying, well, I'm right. Fine, you're right. That's not where you start, though. What's your heart? Where is your heart at right now? If your heart is at the spot, by the help of God, to say, I am speaking the truth. I am going to go speak the truth to this person because I love them and I want to point them towards Christ. This is going to be pointing them towards Christ. This is going to be drawing them back to Jesus. This is going to be helping them to see the beauty and majesty of Jesus. Okay, but if you're not there yet, you need to do business with God before you do any business with that person. Because we speak the truth in love to help others grow up into the likeness of Christ. That's the goal. That's the goal. Whether it be face-to-face or a comment online, whether it be a text message conversation, or whether it be a schoolyard, it doesn't matter. The goal is lifting that person to see Jesus more clearly. If that's not where your heart is at, you don't need to be speaking the truth yet. You need to be getting God to get your heart right so that you can then go lead them to that glorious purpose. Number 5, we speak the truth because we care about our members. Back to our original verse. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. The word members there, it's the picture of different parts of your body, okay? Your hand, your ear, your eye, your foot. We are members of one another. We are each part of the body that is the church, which is Christ. If with your physical body, your hand hurts, what do you do? What do you do if your hand is all of a sudden throbbing? You, with your eyes, look at it. And if there is a giant gash in your hand, you go and get a Band-Aid. And if the Band-Aid doesn't work, you use your feet and you walk to the car and then you drive to the doctor and then you sit down with the doctor and with your mouth you say, I cut my hand, can you help me? You use the different parts of your body to help the part of your body that is hurt, right? So too with us, friends. If you see part of the body that is hurting the other parts of the body, because we are members of one body, step in to help. That's what speaking the truth is all about. Ignoring a brother or sister that is veering away from the truth, just turning the other way, that's not caring. Gossiping about a brother or sister that is going awry under the guise of, I've got a prayer request for Sally. That's not loving. Getting really harsh with them. That's not loving. Sitting across the room and glaring at them when they walk in with this holier than thou, I can't believe he's here. That's not loving. Getting mad at them, giving them the cold shoulder, silent treatment, that's not caring or loving. Going in love with gentleness but directness and saying, when you said blank, it made me feel. That's loving. I heard you say blank, and I'm concerned because. That's love. I saw you, and look, I love you, and what I saw you do, that is not honoring to Christ, brother. That's loving. I'm sensing there's something going on inside. I don't know what it is, but there's something. Are you okay? That's loving. Brother, sister, last year I saw you were thriving, but you've got consumed with, and it's all so busy with work and life and the house and all these things, and I care about you and where you were to where you are. What's going on? Can I help? That's loving. We speak the truth because it's an opportunity. We speak the truth because Christ is the truth. We speak the truth because truth and love, they're actually partners together. The goal of speaking the truth is to help people love Christ more. We speak the truth because we care for our members. And then sixth and finally, we speak the truth quickly so the enemy has no opportunity. Ephesians 4:26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity for the devil. When an issue comes up between you and your spouse, or you and your kids, or you and a brother or sister in the Lord, Don't just let it sit there. Our text says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. In other words, keep a short account. Deal with this quickly. Don't let it just sit there, because if it sits there, guess what it's going to do? It's going to fester. Why don't we let it sit there? Because we have an enemy. Verse 27 tells us we need to deal with it quickly and not give opportunity to the devil. The word opportunity, it means to make room. I have to tell you, some of you were here, not all of you were here, but a few weeks ago, Josh, when he was preaching, used an illustration to talk about a dance floor. And it just got me thinking about this. If I were to try and do a little like breakdown here, okay, if we were to have like a little breakdown dance time right now, you know what you need to do is you need to spread everything out. Okay? You need to spread stuff out. If you're in your living room and there's a coffee table in the middle, you can't have a breakdown because there's a coffee table there. You need to move everything out of the way to give room. That's what the word give opportunity means, to spread things out so that there's room to move and to dance. Here's what this verse is saying. When you let that linger between you and a brother or you and a sister, you are spreading out the room in your heart for the devil to do a dance. That's what you're doing. When you keep it in, you are giving room for Satan to dance all over your heart. Friends, do you want the devil to have room to dance all over your relationship between your brothers and sisters, between you and your kids, between you and your spouse, between you and the people in your small group or in your church? Do you want to spread out the floor and say, have at it, Satan? Is that what you want? If it is, just let it stick inside and don't say anything, because that's what you're doing. But if you want to give no opportunity to the devil, go and speak the truth. Before night falls, before the sun comes down, go to that dear brother, that dear sister, keep the short account and say, I love you, which is why I'm sitting here with you right now having this conversation. We speak the truth quickly so the enemy has no opportunity. All six of these points start with a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where they all start. I wonder today, as you find yourself here, have you started there? Have you come to the spot already where you have given your life to Jesus Christ? Not just are you in church, not just do you know about him, not just have you been around this, but have you personally come to the point where you said, Jesus, you are my Savior. I give you my life. Rule over it. That's where it all starts, friends. If you have not yet come to that point, I am thrilled you are here today. And today can be the day. You don't need to go another day without getting that right. Don't go another day without getting that right. It is a free gift given to every single one of us if we would but receive it. Jesus, you are my Savior. That's where it's all got to start, friends. There's not a special formula to that. It's the genuine cry of your heart. God sees and knows your heart. Cry out to him. Even today, he will hear. And then if, when you have made that commitment to him, starting there, I wonder which one, two, three of these challenges from God's word about speaking the truth is what you need to hear this week. Is what you need to put into practice this week. Is what you need to come to God and say, oh Lord, this is so hard. This isn't what I've seen. This isn't how it's been modeled. This isn't what I've experienced. But give me the grace to live in an uncommon sort of way, speaking the truth to one another. Let's pray. Oh, gracious God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word that is a display. Fundamentally, it's a display of this very truth we've seen today, that you would speak the truth to us in love, that we might be reconciled to you. Lord, if there is anyone here today who does not yet know you as their Lord and their Savior, oh God, even here, right now, as we conclude in this final song, I pray for them. And I ask that you would just meet with them right now. Oh Lord, thank you that you tell us everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Dear friend, you can cry out to God today, this day. And Lord, for each one who is here, who knows you, and oh, how hard it is, how uncommon it is, but how beautiful it is to live out what we've been seeing all through this series and today, this challenge of speaking the truth. Oh Lord, help us. Help each one of us to see what is our response to your word. For we are not here simply to be hearers, but we're here to be doers. Would you give us the grace to do that today? In Jesus' name, amen.